Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hard to believe it, as I always say, but the third and final hour is here upon us now. Darkness has fallen and covered the beautiful conference center here at Montgomery Bell State Park, where I sit this evening, Saturday, March 17th, and bringing you tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm dialed into our flagship studio at home from the hotel here, AM 1380 WLRM Radio. It'll be good to be back in the familiar digs next week. As we've said a couple of times before, if you're wondering what's going on tonight, it's not your computer. The audio quality isn't quite as good as it is when we're obviously at home and in the studio. We are calling in from a phone line tonight from the American Renaissance Conference, but again, I've said it two or three times, no place I'd rather be. Great to do these on-the-road broadcasts, these real-time updates, and so here we are, going out as well to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and online we're simulcasting at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The Political Cesspool online chat virtual fan party hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens is going on right now. So go join the party. Wish I could be there. We'll be there again with you next week in a big CFCC contingent here at the Ameren Conference today near Nashville. The bulk of the second hour there, I revisited the gist of my speech, the remarks that I gave today to the crowd, and it seemed to be well received. And, of course, I was grateful for the reception. You know, when you come to a conference as esteemed as American Renaissance, you're surrounded by so many academics. I mean, there's nothing you can say. It puts the speakers, and there was only, you know, about a dozen of us. You're in a difficult position. I mean, there's nothing you're going to be able to say. You're not going to educate this crowd. Let me put it that way. You're not giving a stump speech in a local community where people are coming and perhaps would be hearing your message for the first time. These are a lot of people here, and there were some newcomers. You know, we talked to Jason earlier. These people know what's going on. And you're going to be hard-pressed to educate them because they're so smart to begin with. And you don't have the silver bullet that's going to cure everything that you can cue them in on. So what do you do? You know, for my part, again, I just gave a little testimony about what I've been able to do that perhaps has done some good and offer some practical advice that I think, you know, and that's the kind of advice, the practical advice is the advice that so often gets overlooked. Common sense stuff, being good, being decent, loving your family, loving your culture, fighting on behalf of it. That's the kind of stuff people need to be reminded of. And I think we try to overcomplicate things sometimes. In actuality, it's a lot more simple. You heard that A3P commercial, the American Third Position commercial during that last commercial break. You know, Merlin Miller, I think we mentioned this, should have anyway. Merlin Miller, presidential candidate, presidential nominee of the American Third Position Party, was here stumping today, campaigning, and gave a talk around 5 p.m. this evening. Again, folks, I am missing the food, the banquet, going on right now downstairs. And at 9 o'clock tonight when the show's over, I look forward to scurrying back down there and catching the end of the final speaker of the day. This has been an all-day thing. This has been literally a 12-hour event today, but there is no fatigue. In fact, quite the opposite. So, you know, each time a speaker comes up, it's like chugging a can of Red Bull. And we've had a very good time. I hope we've done a decent job in conveying to you that which we've experienced. And again, I want to thank Jason for calling in, somebody that's new to the political process, someone who's new. This was his first conference to ever come to. You heard how well-spoken he was there at the top of the second hour. If you're tuning in late and you missed anything, broadcast archive is available to you right there. Don't forget to check it out. Now, before I go any further, I want to be sure to work in this endorsement, if you will. I call it my wonderfully turbulent political career, and there's one thing about it. It's afforded me the opportunity to enjoy the company of many of America's leading conservative thinkers. Now, a lot of them are here at this conference today. Many of them are not. One of them that is not is my good friend William Flax. Certainly, I count him among America's leading conservative thinkers. And I met Bill Flax a few years ago at another gathering to which we were both speaking. It was the 2006, I believe it was, 2006, 2007, one of those years, Council of Conservative Citizens Conference. It was up in Indiana. And we hit it off there. We shared the podium. We hit it off. We've stayed in touch ever since. And he, of course, has made a handful of appearances on TPC. Last Thursday, if you got a pen and paper in hand, write this down. Bill Flax gave to Sam Bushman, who is the owner of Liberty News Radio Network, and he's also the host of his own Monday through Friday show, as you know, from his many appearances with us, the Liberty Roundtable show. Anyway, Bill Flax gave an interview to Sam Bushman that should be absolutely required listening to everyone who values the work of this show. You like this show, you're going to love that interview. And here's how you can check it out. Go to libertyroundtable.com. That's the website of Sam Bushman's show. Go back to the program of this most recent Thursday, last Thursday. Listen to the whole show. Listen to a lot of those shows. But listen to Bill Flax being interviewed by Sam Bushman. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, one of the things I admire most about Bill Flax is his ability to offer logical arguments that we can use to defend our position. Bill Flax literally wrote the Conservative Debate Handbook. I mean, I've got it in my bookcase at home. The Conservative Debate Handbook, that's what it's called, and that's what it is, and it was written by Bill Flax, and it's a resource that I've turned to on numerous occasions. And I say all that to say this. He also runs a website that I highly recommend to fans of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's called, appropriately enough, Truth-Based Logic. Now, you might have heard the commercials tonight. They've been running for the last couple of weeks. Truth-Based Logic. It's spelled out just like you would think. Truth-BasedLogic.com. And when you get there, it's really a very simple website. Bill doesn't employ any fancy graphics or high-tech gimmicks, but I can guarantee you that the articles and resources that you find there will stick with you. So, again, I say this because I believe it's important, and I believe you need to know this stuff. I was just revisiting a few of the articles Bill has featured there before I left to come up here to Nashville on Thursday. And anyway, do yourself a favor and check out truthbasedlogic.com today and pass along word of it to your friends. And while you're there reading the articles, you might as well go to libertyroundtable.com and listen to the interview. A double dose of Bill Flax. You will not regret it. I promise you that. And again, that's something that I'm very proud to be able to do with this show, is showcase contemporary heroes like Bill Flax. We're going to take a break, everybody. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. And listen up. Listen. We don't do it too often. We're going to open up the floodgates. We might take a call or two tonight. If you want to phone in, ask a question, make a comment, let's do it. 1-866-986-NEWS. If you have a question about the American Renaissance Conference, where I'm at right now, that perhaps I haven't covered, you want to know something about it, give me a call. You want to talk about anything, open mic time. Bring a subject to the attention of the program that maybe we're not going to cover tonight, that should be covered. You let me know. 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS. And I want to circle back and go back to the first hour, something that Keith was covering. And it really was very profound, the final word on gun control. And we were using Shane as our point of reflection, the epic Western released in 1953. And as Keith mentioned, that was 1 year before the fateful Brown versus Topeka Board of Education Supreme Court decision, which marked the end of the America of our ancestors. This clip, though, that we have on the website, and we have this clip from Shane at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and a quote that I'm going to read to you, it's really like a magic lantern showing us the values of America before the triumph of liberalism converted us. This was an era, 1953, when Shane was released, and even the America of Shane, which predated 1953, it was an era during which male authority and wisdom was taken for granted. Shane's response to a typical feminine criticism of firearms and gun culture was classic. You watch this clip, and Keith is always talking about Shane. That was his favorite movie. He talks about it all the time. So I thought I would do one solid for Keith and put it up on the website, and it is great. I mean, it really is. But in this scene that we have for you attached to this blog post, Shane demonstrates his quick draw ability and how to accurately pick off a rock in the distance. The gunfire is definitely loud as he pummels it with bullets. Joey, the child in the movie, his eyes widen and he whistles between his teeth, "Gosh almighty, that is good!" And his mother, standing quietly in the background wearing her full-skirted silvery white wedding dress, has a concerned look on her face as she witnesses his prowess. She interrupts Shane and criticizes him for initiating her young boy into manhood by passing on these values. She resists Joey's move towards growing up. Shane defends the young boy about learning about guns, explaining how he uses restraint. And this is the quote from the movie. The woman says, "Guns aren't going to be a part of my boy's life." The child says, "Why do you always have to ruin everything?" And then Shane says, "A gun is a tool, Marion. No better and no worse than any other tool, an axe, a shovel, or anything. A gun is as good or as bad as the man using it. Remember that." That quote, that scene, very powerful because it harkens back to a better time and a better place. And truly, that quote from Shane should be used by the NRA or even better, the Gun Owners of America as a marketing pitch. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, people like Shane, men like that, I know Shane's just a movie character, but, you know, there was a time when men like that existed. They're heroes, you know. And again, talking about heroes, talking about guns, you know, my father is a hero to me. And beyond that, my mother, obviously, my grandparents, my wife is a hero. History books will never remember them, and most heroes aren't recorded in history. But, you know, my dad, when I was young, I can remember almost as far back as I'm capable of having memories. I mean, very, very young. My dad would take me, and then later on when my brother came around, my younger brother, he would take us both shooting. And I can remember learning to shoot guns, I don't know, first, second, third grade. I mean, going to the shooting range. And, you know, that was great. I can remember Dad, you know, talking about gun control, using the old canard. Gun control means hitting your target. But you know, these are the kinds of activities that men should share with their sons. And getting back to Shane, you know, will America ever be as good and as innocent as the America depicted in Shane or in the 1950s? I don't know. I don't know if it will. But it certainly won't be if we don't do our duty. And even if it's not, you still get the solace and the peace of mind that comes with doing your best day in and day out. And that's something we should all strive to do. And there's no shortages of battles out there for us to define and apply ourselves in. So just keep your eyes open, your ears peeled. And I tell you, you know, talking about the America of 1953, it was, what, 23 years before Roe versus Wade? And now you look, I mean, who could have thought in the 1950s that abortion would ever be legal in the United States? Now, what are they pushing? I mean, liberals never stop. They never stop pushing. You can never concede enough ground. They'll take what you give them, set up shop there for a little while, and then they'll move on to take a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And there's no placating them. There's no appeasing them. They will never stop. And with regards to the abortion issue, you know, being able to do abortions wasn't enough. Then you had to do late-term abortions. Now, and we featured this on the website, and it got a pretty big reaction, quote-unquote, after-birth abortions. After-birth abortions are now being considered. And not only are they being considered, some intellectuals, and I'll put that in quotations as well, consider after-birth abortions, the thought of them, the idea of them, as morally acceptable. Well, what's after-birth abortion? Well, most normal people would call that murder. The child's born, and then you kill him once you decide to kill him or her after you decide that you don't want him anymore. Having the option to murder your baby is beginning to pick up steam. How did it ever come to this? Well, here's the story. Two Australian bioethicists, whatever that is, are creating a stir among both pro-life and pro-choice advocates alike, with an article arguing for after-birth abortion. And these two so-called professors, these doctors, these bioethicists, claim that, you know, when you really look at it from a scientific and a medical point of view, a fetus and a newborn are the same. They're the same thing. So therefore, if a fetus can be legally aborted, a newborn can also be terminated, or should also. You should also have the right to terminate a newborn baby outside of the womb. Merely being human is not in itself a reason for ascribing someone a right to life, the authors of these bioethicists, this is what they said. Merely being human is not a right to life. The authors write in an article published in the online edition of the Journal of Medical Ethics. Many humans are not considered subjects of a right to life. Spare embryos, where research on an embryo's stem cells is permitted, fetuses, where abortion is permitted, criminals, where capital punishment is legal, they note. The article has revived the personhood debate with pro-lifers and ethicists, failed to indicate at what age killing a child would be considered murder. The Catholic Church has been making the same logical connections between abortion and infanticide for the past 2,000 years. The Catholic moral theology writer Charles Camassi said in a post for the Oxford University's Practical Ethics. The slope is far more room left down, which we could slide. The Supreme Court has already decided that it's a civil right for you to be able to murder your child as they grow in the womb. Does anybody really think that this idea won't continue to gain traction? I certainly think that it will. I think we'll live to see the day when you can murder your children to a certain time after they are born. I think we'll live to see the day where euthanasia is reinstituted. And it all happens because men are abandoning their duties. Men are abandoning their duties, and we're losing ground on all fronts, both moral and political. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, lighthouseliterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com, a bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. to get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, I'm about 30 minutes away from heading back downstairs to the ballroom and rejoining the American Renaissance crowd and sharing a couple of hours of late-night fellowship. A man that I wish that could be here with us is a man who was here with us in 2008 when we were in Washington, D.C. at the American Renaissance Conference. There, Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid political cesspool correspondent. Scoop, why aren't you here at Ameren today?
Well, James, as you know, I don't go anything past Fairfax County, Virginia, and I don't go anywhere north of the Pennsylvania, Maryland, Washington, D.C. border, because my car won't go that far.
There you go. Well, that's a good enough reason. You're offered a, you get a furlough.
Right.
But I know you'd like to be here, and we did have a good time together whenever it was, 4 years ago. Hard to believe it's been 4 years ago. I remember that night well.
Right. I mean, I remember like it was like yesterday, and like every anniversary show or end year show, we always bring it up how good of a time it was. For me, it was like the top five events of my life. To be in good company, my root canal and prostate exam was also in the top five.
Yeah, well, I hadn't had either of those yet, so I'll take your word on it. But listen, Scoop, the last couple of weeks, last week you, unlike our opponents, you had to work, and so you weren't able to make your normal late third hour contributions to the show. Peter Scoop Stanton, our correspondent, typically comes on for the last segment of the show. But since I'm going to redo my tribute to Davy Jones tonight, we didn't even get to do it all last week. Kind of cut off in the middle of it because I started it too late. But yeah, I'm going to get it right for you this time, Davy. Okay? And we're going to do that in just a minute. But anyway, because we're doing that in the last segment, we brought Scoop on just a little bit earlier tonight, and he wasn't here last week because he had to work, and the week before I think I messed something up and he wasn't on. But anyway, we got you here now, and it's been 3 weeks since your last appearance, Scoop, so what do we got to talk about here for the next few minutes?
To be honest, actually nothing. Since today's being in St. Patrick's Day, I decided to take a day off from work. And I had a grand total of one alcoholic beverage from the Guinness Brewing Company.
Well, that's obligatory almost on St. Patrick's Day. And, a lot of people could have been pinched here at the Ameren Conference today, myself included. I knew it was St. Patrick's Day, forgot to wear the green. You got green on right now?
No, I have a black shirt on and some blue jeans.
A lot of people here were actually wearing, orange, the color of the dreaded English, even though I'm from English stock, but... orange versus the English versus the Irish, and you know all about that. But St. Patrick's Day, I'm glad you brought that up. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. I mean, I think our culture is in such peril that we have to, for the time being, put aside the in-family bickering, English versus Irish and English versus Scottish and then the Germans and then all, we're all together in this right now. Let's figure out if we're going to be able to survive, and then we can go back to picking on one another. But, yes, for all the people out there, both Irish and non-Irish, happy St. Patrick's Day, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Scoop.
Thank you, James. Same to you.
Are you good Irish stock? What are you?
The name Stanton comes from Ireland, and some spellings is S-T-A-U-N-T-O-N.
Right.
As mine is S-T-A-N-T-O-N. My mother's side is from Germany, and it turns out my great-grandfather was a veteran of World War One, fighting for Germany.
I would imagine if they were from Germany, he probably fought for them.
Right.
Well, so, I think what that's stuck there. You got some German, you got some Irish. I mean, you're a little European souffle there, Scoop.
Yep.
Hey, did you catch the stuff? I got a couple of things. I mean, this is Scoop Stanton type story. Did you catch the thing on the CESPL website about the sixth grade basketball coach who, you know how it is. I played basketball in the early years and in high school. And after the game, you know how it is. You get in line and you walk past each other. giving everybody, you know, shaking everybody's hands. You know, the winning team congratulates the losing team and vice versa. You shake hands with everybody that play. Both teams line up and they go and they, good game, good game, good game, good game, good game, and you slap hands and all that. Well, they were doing this at a fifth grade basketball game last week when the coach of the fifth grade team attacked the coach of the other team and bit his ear off. And we have this story up on the Cesspool site right now. Did you get to read that story? That was in Springfield, Massachusetts. Did you read that one, Scoop?
Yes, I did. And, again, I mean, it's the lowest common denominator. If you go on YouTube, parents attacking coaches, parents attacking referees, parents, people attacking, you know, other people, it's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, how low can we go? I mean, it's going to be a matter of time before an official for a kid's youth event is going to be shot. I mean, just absolutely disgusting. I mean, you get obnoxious parents and the fans yelling and cursing at the kids. Like, I have a friend whose daughter plays volleyball, and I always make jokes that I'm going to do, you know, say absolutely horrendous things, but I'm not going to do it. You know, I save it for professional hockey games, but, you know, for you know, just these people just acting like animals. I mean, it's no wonder, you know, parents are letting their kids sit at home play PlayStation and Xbox because they want to be exposed to these animals.
Animals, I mean, that's an animalistic act there. I mean, the coach literally attacks, jumps on the other coach during the congratulation line, bites his ear off. And, you know, and this guy, you know, if I didn't live in a city like Memphis, a story like this might strike me as strange. But Memphis, you see it all, and so this is just like, well, I mean, of course, you know, why wouldn't that happen? That's almost to be expected. But it says that this was a obviously a school league, and it says that every coach is checked. League rules dictate, or the school district rules dictate, that the school has to check the background of every coach. And, of course, they said that this guy was thoroughly vetted by the school. They did a background check. Well, the Springfield police in there in Massachusetts tell a different story. They say a simple background check that they ran showed that this coach was previously arrested several times for crimes ranging from kidnapping to assault and battery and the destruction of property. Kidnapping, assault and battery, destruction of property, and this guy was the coach of a fifth-grade school team. And, of course, you know, I'm not going to give away his ethnicity. If you want to know, you can go and look at the story. But I mean, I'm wondering if they didn't vet him because, you know, to have run a background check on him would have been a racist, you know, infraction. But nevertheless, here he was coaching this team, and he's got this long rap sheet. And then, you know, another coach had to pay with his ear for, you know, his ear was sacrificed to the gods of diversity. And anyway, the ear was later reattached at the hospital, but my God, what a story.
Right, and again, you know, even though this guy has a, you know, very checkered past, he couldn't pass a background check for, you know, sweeping floors on a McDonald's, you know, and the gods of diversity, like you said before, they're going to let him pass. But say if I have an overdue parking ticket from years ago that I didn't know because I let someone else borrow my car, it parked in the wrong place in, say, Philadelphia, then, you know, they throw the book at me and, you know, send me on my way packing.
Well, that's the truth. I know we only have a couple of minutes left, Scoop, so I want to shift to something good. And we actually, I think I mentioned this in passing earlier. Have you had an opportunity to watch, and we can't say it by name, I don't guess, this is a family show, have you watched GCB on ABC, Scoop?
No, I can honestly say I do not watch network television.
We all know about good Christian female dogs, and thankfully, again, people are standing up. Every now and then are people to do something sensible, and they'll stand up and they'll speak out on certain atrocities. And Ted Pike, we've got to get Ted Pike on the show this week because he's really been spearheading this, or at least spearheading the flow of information stemming from this. But a lot of people complaining, rightly so, to ABC for their portrayal of Christians in this GCB program. And we want you to be a part of the solution. You know, the left never passes up an opportunity to bicker and to moan and to complain and to call people. And certainly they get a little overzealous with it sometimes, and they complain about things that they have no need to complain about, and they make things up, and they go overboard, and they threaten violence, and they do all this other stuff. But I think Christians certainly have not only a good reason to, but also should be nearly commanded to protest ABC for this show. Go after their advertisers. Another tactic of the left. Well, Ted Pike, God bless him, has compiled every single advertiser that has run a commercial during the GCB show for the last 2 weeks. And you can find it at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's how to protest GCB. You can find it there. Look it up, and we have the phone numbers listed there, the email addresses of these companies that are running their ads on this despicable program. Call them and let them know that this is unacceptable and you will not be purchasing their products. Do it now. Hey, Scoop, love you, buddy. Talk to you next week.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
America has lost her way, lost her mooring, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked. As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up, America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right. One more thing we put up on the website. You know, you never need an extra reason to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I hope everyone listening here has it among their daily reads. And I've seen a lot of people here today at the Amarin Conference that say they check the website every single day, and it's for good reason. We update it every single day with different stories and articles and commentary. One thing we did for fun, you know, listen, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I've said it a couple of times before. I've got a mind that works. My brain works. I've got a filter on my mind. I'm able to take what I enjoy, and when some stuff comes up, particularly in a movie that I don't like or I don't agree with, I'm able to filter that out and enjoy the rest of it for what it is. And so with that being said, you know, I like movies. I like movies of all kinds. I like to watch movies, even though they sometimes have negative subliminal messaging or sometimes just out front anti-white stuff. Listen, I can throw that out to an extent. Now, if it's a completely anti-white, you know, piece of trash, you know, I'm not going to watch it. But for example, Die Hard. Bruce Willis, I like the Die Hard movies. Okay, I like mind-numbing, you know, we all need to escape from reality from time to time. I like watching mind-numbing action movies from time to time. Just sit there and let my brain rot for a minute. I mean, we can't always be engaged. You gotta do that from time to time, I think. And so, I'm a fan of Bruce Willis. I like the Die Hard movies. Great acting. Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber in the first one, Jeremy Irons in the third one, the incomparable Jeremy Irons. What a great actor. And I know there's some silly stuff in those movies, but by and large, I mean, they're entertaining. Well, anyway, we had a little fun with Die Hard 3. We have condensed Die Hard with a Vengeance, which was actually directed by John McTiernan, who directed our good friend Sonny Landham from in Predator. And John McTiernan did Die Hard 3, the third installment of the Die Hard franchise. Anyway, we have gotten Die Hard 3 condensed into 5 seconds. You can get the whole gist of the movie in 5 seconds. And we've put it up at our website. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, but just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, look for the Die Hard with a Vengeance. And I actually like the movie. So, I mean, we're kind of mocking it a little bit. We're kind of making fun of it, but I actually do like the movie. And anyway, we got it condensed into 5 seconds. You can go check that out on your own time. Now, again, last week I tried to do this. Davy Jones of the Monkees passed away 2 weeks ago, and did my best to do a little tribute to Davey last week, and I started the clip too late, and so you got to hear most of it, but you didn't get to hear all of it. And what I've got here is a clip of Davy Jones performing the Monkees' best-known hit, Daydream Believer, at Epcot, and it's a great live performance of the song that was, I think he did it a couple of years ago, and he even offers a couple of touching anecdotes both before and after his rendition that we're going to share with y'all. You know, I had the opportunity to meet Davy Jones a couple of times. Great guy. He invited my wife on stage at a concert he did in Tunica, Mississippi, not long ago when we were there, and presented her to the crowd, and we got some pictures with him and talked with him backstage. Just a really great guy. They don't make music like that anymore. And so we're going to have a little bit of release here in the last segment of the Political Festival. We're going to listen to Daydream Believer, the live performance from Davy Jones, a tribute to him. Rest in peace, Davy. And here's the song.
I'd like to thank all the people here tonight for coming. Have a great time. When you go back to your houses in America here, I want you to sing like no one's listening, and dance like no one's watching, and love like you have never been hurt before. And when life gets too hard to stand, kneel. I'd like to thank my sister for coming, and my friends Basil, Richard, Jose, and Abuela, and Miriam, and each and every one of you. Thank you so much for the support. Appreciate it. One more time, Basil. I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as it sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings. And of course, Jose. Start and end. spend. How much, baby, do we really need? Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream? Your grandeur or wealth, but from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you happiness, long life, good health, falling gas prices. What else? All I can say is, God bless America. Thank you, everybody. Just keep loving.
But you know, that was the good stuff right there. Davy Jones passed away 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to be sure to get all that in because I liked what he had to say both before and after the performance. And that was a good rendition, a good live rendition of "Daydream Believer." Well, that nearly wraps up the show tonight, folks. It's been a great show, a fun show, a unique show here, broadcasting live from the American Renaissance Conference in Montgomery Bell State Park, just outside of Nashville. It's a weekend I wish all of you could have shared with us, but I'll hope to see you later on in the summer, in July. We'll be doing it again right here in Nashville at the Council of Conservative Citizens 2012 National Conference, first week of July. You can go to cfcc.org, and they'll have more information posted about that as it gets a little bit closer. And we're going to try to do, as we've done the last couple of years, do a live broadcast from the facility. Now, yes, I'm doing a live broadcast tonight from my hotel room, but we don't have the big audience. You know, with the council, though, we typically do it in the ballroom itself. And you got all these cheering people around. We've done that two or three times now, thanks to the council. And those are some of the most memorable shows I've ever been a part of. And we're going to try to do that again, hopefully, this July there in Nashville with the CFCC. So come and you will know exactly what Keith and I were talking about with the fellowship, the camaraderie, great stuff. And you'll get another chance there in July with the CFCC. On behalf of everybody that made this show possible tonight, listen, for the people who are here at the conference right now, downstairs eating, drinking, and being merry, you go home. I know a lot of you are going to be listening to this in the archives after the fact when you get back. Great. This is from me to you. What an honor it was to have been here with you this weekend. Such a great honor to meet you, to have met you, to have spoken with you, for all of those who I was able to share that with. Thanks for your support of the show, and I look forward to seeing you a little on later down the line. For everyone else, I'll be back home next week. We'll be back in the studio on Saturday night, March 24th. We're going to get another update. We're going to try to get Ted Pike on again, the man who has lost more appearances than any other guest in the history of the show. I'm going to get Ted Pike on to see what the latest results are in the campaign against ABC for GCB. You know what I'm talking about. And we hope to have Ted as our featured guest. Winston Smith going to try to come back again and do the little courtroom transcriptionist interview with Andy Nowicki. We're going to try to do a part two of that. I believe that's scheduled for next week, too. Already a busy show shaping up next week. I'm James Edwards, everybody. God bless you. Great being here tonight. We'll see you next week.